Stand with me, if you will, for the honor of reading God's Word. And we're going to read a Psalm, Psalm 139, and 2 verses 23 and 24. We're going to read it in the New American Standard Version, then also want to read it in the New Living Translation, and we'll revisit this later on in the message as well. Psalm 139, starting in verse 23, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." The New Living Translation is this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can gather in your house and worship you, Lord. We recognize, Lord, how holy and awesome you are. And we are just ever mindful that everything that we get to do or the blessings that we have come from your mighty hand. Lord, we want to lift you up and praise you today. Father, I pray that this psalm would be a psalm for all of us here today. That we would allow you to search us, to search our hearts and our minds, Lord. And Father, if there's anything in our life that offends you, if there's anything that is not right, that we would repent of that and that we would run to you, Lord. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. That of all people in this place this morning, there's strict judgment on my life, and I accept that place in rightly dividing your word of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we wrap up this year and start looking to a new year, I want this message to be kind of a reflection, but also a projection of where we're going to go. Now, I don't know if any of you all remember last year's message before the new year, but we had a theologian named Ralph Cramden from the Honeymooners who helped that Sunday, and he was talking about hitting the high note, and the challenge was for the year in 2013 to hit that high note, to accomplish things that you probably never thought that you could, or to finish things that you quit on. And this year, what I want us to look at before we head into the new year is, are we living and being who God wants us to be? And so my prayer is that not only me, but you as well, would, in the spirit of the Psalm 139, that we would actually pray this morning and that we'd actually be open to say, "Lord, search me and know my anxious thoughts. Know me, know my mind and my heart, and find out if there's anything in me that is displeasing to you, or if I'm not living in a way that honors you, that you'd point that out to me today so that I can get that straightened up so that when this new year comes, man, I can live it the way you want me to live it." How's that sound? When we started this church about 9 years ago, we're coming up on our 10th year anniversary coming up in May. And it's been an exciting journey. And when we started in our home with a home Bible study, we had some fundamentals and some foundations that we built this church upon. How many of y'all realize that most of the time you got to go back to the basics, the fundamentals? In sports, the fundamentals, if you don't execute the fundamentals, they'll get you every time, won't they? Anybody been on some sports teams? You know, when you forget the fundamentals and you get wrapped up in the show, that's where you go wrong. And so we built this on some fundamentals, and there were some key texts, key passages in Scripture that we looked at and we built on. And when I was in college at Morehead State University, I knew that I was going to be a pastor one day. God had already called me into the ministry when I was a senior in high school. And so all the way through college, I knew that college was just preparation for seminary. And so that's kind of a weird thing, you know, and being a college student, knowing you're going to be a pastor. It was you know, not the normal thing that actually normally goes on a college campus, and that students are like, "I'm going to be a preacher," you know. But that was me. And I remember at the BSU, I got a book called The Purpose Driven Church. This is way before The Purpose Driven Life ever came out. And I began reading that, and as a college student, I was beginning to pray and think about what kind of church would God want. and want to start, because I knew God was calling me to ministry, and I began reading that thing. And in that, it made one statement that I never forgot. It's in Rick Warren, he says, a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment will grow a great church. That's what he said. A great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment will grow a great church. The Great Commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Great Commandment. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28. I've got that on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can flip around with me. We'll be in Acts 2 most of the time, but in Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he tells his disciples, he gathers disciples, in verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And in verse 19, he gives the commission. This is the Great Commission. He says, go therefore, and what? Make what? Make disciples. Jesus said to go make disciples. Now, how many of y'all realize that last words are lasting words? When somebody speaks their last words before they see you for a long time, those are lasting words. And he says to go make disciples. So what do you think the church ought to be about? Four of you got it, making disciples. That's okay. It ought to be about making disciples. If Jesus said to go make disciples, then I think that's probably a pretty good idea. What do you think? Now, I know it's not deep. I know it won't make your brain hurt. I know you won't walk out of here going, oh, wow, ooh, that was so amazing. That was so deep. That's so great. Well, you know, have you ever been to those type of people? You know, it's, oh, that was so awesome. That's so rich. That's so deep. What do they say? I have no idea. But it's so deep. And so Jesus is very plain. He says, I want you to go make disciples. So that's what we're about. Make disciples. Well, how do you got to make disciples? Well, you got to lead people to who? Jesus. So fundamentally, foundation number one is this church is all about Jesus. If you don't like Jesus, you won't like this church. If you don't like us preaching about Jesus, this is not the church for you. If you don't like us saying that people need to be saved and people need to repent of their sin and come to Christ and found salvation in Him, then this isn't the church for you, because this church is all about Jesus. It's about honoring Him, lifting His name up, making His name known, and glorifying Him. He says, make disciples. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And look at this promise he says at the end of this next portion. He says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, and lo, I am what? With you always, even to the end of the age. How many of y'all know that we have a God who stays with us all the way to the end? That means a lot, because there's people in your life that won't, but He will. And so we built this on this foundation that we have got to make disciples. Why? Because Jesus said, go make disciples. So to make disciples, we got to win people to Jesus. We got to lead people to Jesus. We got to connect people to Jesus. So therefore, we go and invite people to connect to who? Jesus. That's what we do. And we make disciples by them coming to know Christ, and then them growing in Christ, teaching them to observe all that He has commanded, teaching them what the Word says. This book's important to us. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. I highly recommend you have one of these, and that you read it and read it often. This tells us how Jesus wants us to live, how He wants us to think, what He wants us to do. It's very important. Another verse, the key verse that kind of motivates what our church does, is Acts 1:8. Now, those of you who were with us over at Grassy Lip when we preached through the book of Acts, you ought to know this. This ought to be ingrained in your mind and in your heart forever. In Acts 8:1, Jesus says, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? To the remotest part of the earth. You will be my witness. He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you are saved, when you are born again, when you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you're going to be given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's job is to help you become a witness to who? To Jesus. We're to be his witnesses. That means that we witness by the way that we live and the way that we speak, by what we say, what comes out of our lips, and what comes out of our life is a witness and a testimony to who? Jesus Christ. We turn to Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts 2. We'll camp there for a while. We said, what did the early church do? What was it that the church did? And we discovered 7 expressions of faith. That's why we call it the 7. Okay? The 7. We want you to be engaged in these. In Acts 2, starting with verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Isn't that amazing? How many of you all like to be a part of that community? Where God's saving people on a daily basis. Now, if you will just jump back up there to Acts 2:42 again, and we'll kind of go through those before we get to the end part of that. As we began to build our church on these 7 expressions of faith, what we said is that whatever we do as a church, it's going to hinge on one of these things. And this is what we're going to be about. If you want to be a growing, maturing Christian, get these 7 disciplines in your life. How many of y'all realize that fundamentals will get you every time? They'll either hurt you or they'll help you. If you don't execute the fundamentals in sports, you're in trouble. Amen. We got the Lady Indians with us. If you don't execute the fundamentals, does that hurt you? Yes. The answer is yes. But when you do the fundamentals, it empowers you. As a church, there's some fundamental things that we need to be about. And the temptation is to forget about these fundamentals and go chase things that get us off course. And what we want to do is we want to be centered. We want to be a well-rounded Christian. How many of y'all want to be a well-rounded Christian? As an athlete, I always wanted to be a well-rounded athlete. I just didn't want to be able to do one thing, right? I wanted to be able to play and help my team as a whole. And the best kind of people that you can have are the people that are well-rounded. And we don't want to be lopsided and just good at one area, but we want to get all these 7. These 7 need to be a part of our church, and they need to be a part of our individual faith walk as well. Okay? So here's what we're going to go through these, okay? And it says they were continuing to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, learning, to the fellowship, that's going to be being part of a church body. We'll break these down further here in just a minute. Breaking of bread, that's worship. Prayer is, anybody wants to take a stab at what that is? Prayer, good, very good. And it says, then they began to sell their possessions. They were serving one another. They were meeting each other's needs. They were serving. They were giving of themselves, right? There were things going on that it was a community where these 7 expressions of faith were being expressed. And now let's go back down to the points number 1 and 2. The first one I want to talk about is being a worshiper. The question that I want to ask you this morning is in the spirit of Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my thoughts, see if there's anything in me that offends you, and I want to make that right. What kind of worshiper are you going to be? In Romans 12:1, I don't have that one on the screen, just listen. It says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So what Paul is saying is that worship is about a lifestyle approach of following Jesus. Okay, one aspect of worship is what we do here on Sunday morning. One aspect of worship is singing, it is praising, but it's more than that. It is a transformation of your mind. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't wrap yourself up in the way that this world thinks. You've got to think different. You got to be different. You got to think biblical. You got to think what Jesus would say. How many of y'all realize that there is an attack on the mind today? The media bombards you with advertisements. I mean, there's so much stuff that tells you that this is what's true, this is what's right, this is how you are to live, this is what you need to be happy, this is what you've got to have to make yourself popular. Listen to all the radio ads, watch the TV commercials. They're filling your mind with something that says, this is what you need, this is what makes you valuable. And it's the wrong message. It's not the message that the Bible teaches. And what Paul says is, you got to have a different mindset. You got to think different. You got to do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everything that you do becomes an act of worship. And so that when you go to work, you worship God. When you do it, as if you do it to the Lord. When you serve someone, you worship God. So really, I could make an argument that these next six that we're going to talk about, they all are a part of worship. But now, one aspect of worship is what we just came in here to do this morning. Let me ask you this question. When you came here this morning, did you come with an expectation that God was actually going to give you something, that he's actually going to speak to you, that maybe a burden would be lifted, that maybe something that would be said to encourage you? Did you come with an expectation? Did you come saying, you know, I'm going to go into the house of the Lord, you know, and it might be rainy, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit rain down on me this morning. And it might be, I may have had a bad week, but I'm going to let my spirit worship God no matter what. And I'm going to come hearing what God wants to say to me today, because I come with an expectation to meet with the Lord. Did you come that way? I hope you came that way. Because here's what doesn't do well. When you come, you say, well, you know what? I better go to church because God's watching. I hadn't been for a while. I haven't got some stars by my name in a while. You know, and some of you picture God like that old Sunday school teacher you used to have, that had all the names down on this big list. And when you were here, they'd take out that little blue star or that little red star or whatever, and they'd go, bloop. Grandma's here today. Glad to see you. And some of us think we go to church and we're like, we're not lifting our hands in worship. We're raising our hands to God saying, I'm here. Put a star by my name. Check me in. I made it to church today. That's not why we go to church. We come to hear from God, to worship him, to lay it all out. When you're singing, you know what? I don't sing well. If you're around me, I'm sorry. But I'm not singing for you, right? I'm singing for the Lord. And so when I come, I need to sing to him. I need to thank him. I need to praise him. I'm coming to worship the God that saved me, the God that redeemed me. And if I can't get excited about worship, then that means that there's nothing wrong with God. That means there's something not right with me. Search me, oh God. Find me. See if there's anything in me that offends you. And help me to get that out so that when I come to your house, I can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to sing for you, Lord. And I'm going to worship you. And as I listen to the preaching of your word, I'm going to worship you. Now, this is an act of worship, what you're doing here, just listening, getting your Bibles open, or your Bible phones open, underlining, highlighting. What kind of worshiper will you be going into 2014? If everyone came in here and worshiped the way you worship, what kind of church would we have? Search me, oh God, know my thoughts. If there's anything that offends me, Lord, get it out. Number two, learner. What kind of learner will you be? They were committed to the apostles' teaching. They were constantly learning. They were constantly getting together, hearing what the disciples had to say, hearing what the apostles were saying, what they were teaching them. Because Jesus had just met with the apostles, and he had unfolded to them everything in the Old Testament that was about him. Luke tells us that it was on the road to Emmaus, and he was speaking with them, and then he opened up their eyes, and it says, and starting with Moses, the law, the prophets, he opened up their eyes and began opening up Scripture to them, pointing it out, pointing himself out in all of that. So they had learned from Jesus, and they were just passing on what they had heard from Christ, and they were teaching them, and they were committed to learning that. Let me ask you something. Are you committed to Bible study? Are you committed to coming here on Sundays, getting your Bible out, getting it ready to where you can mark it up, where you can underline it, where you can take notes? How many of you come to church with a notepad? Anybody? Like, oh, I didn't know we're supposed to do that. Well, that'd be a great thing to start doing this next year. What about you? I was weird in high school. I liked the preaching. I guess I'm glad God called me to be a preacher because I always liked the preaching. And I had this little booklet, even as a youth when I was in high school, that would have, it was a sermon note booklet. Put the title of the message, write down notes. And I still have that today, and I can go back and I can look at some of the sermons that I had heard when I was in high school and see what the Lord was telling me. God uses young people. Middle school, high school, parents, sometimes they're more sensitive to the voice of God than you are. God's going to use our young people to do some mighty things. As an adult, we never grow old of this. We have got to get this book open. We got to start reading it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw you out a New Testament reading plan. You ready? Here you go. Write this down. You may want to get this. At the beginning of the year, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Read Mark. That's the first gospel written. Then read Matthew. Then read John. And then read Luke, Acts, and the rest of the New Testament. Go for it. Ready? Write that down. Go. Go do it. In the beginning of the year, get that down. Just start reading God's Word. You know, this will build spiritual muscle. Reading this will build, make you spiritually fit. How many of y'all like to be physically fit? We got an LWC Fit Club. We're trying to get some of our folks trying to get in shape. That's a great thing. I think we need an LWC Spiritually Fit Club. Huh? Here's one thing I've learned about getting in physical shape. You know, it's easy to get out of shape. How many of y'all can say amen to that? I mean, it doesn't take much effort to get out of shape. It takes a lot of eating and laziness, huh? Amen? Now, it's a whole lot harder to get back in shape than it is to get once you're out. Here's what I learned about going to Fusion Fitness. Give them a plug, by the way. It's a good place. We got people in our church that started that, so I think that's a great thing to try to plug, right? Fusion Fitness. I cannot get in shape in Fusion Fitness by just walking in. I can't just go over there and stand by the treadmill while Michelle's running her 20 miles and have her exercise just ooze off of me. I can't go over to the weight area and watch some of these guys, these buff guys, you know, like Chris Barrier, pump that huge weight and just feel my muscles start to explode. It doesn't happen that way. Boy, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. You know, you actually got to go into the gym. And Kevin, guess what? If you want to do cardio work, guess what? I've got to get on the treadmill or the elliptical or glider, whatever you want to call it. I've got to actually do it. If I want to build my muscles, I got to actually lift the weights. If you want to get spiritually fit, you know what? You have to actually open up your Bible and read it. Wow, I never knew that. You mean just walking to a church building is going to make me super spiritual? No, just like me walking in Fusion ain't going to make me physically fit. You just being here and sitting here is not going to make you super saint, spiritual development, awesome lady or man. You have to actually read the Bible, study the Bible, come to Bible study, read it. And not just read it for information, but read it for transformation. You got to read it and do what it says. When the Bible says to go, you go. When it says to love, you love. When it says to gather, you gather. When it says to give, you give. When it says to serve, you serve. When it says to forgive, you forgive. When it says to heal, you heal. When it says to encourage, you encourage. When it says you build up, you build up. Whatever you hear the Bible saying for you to do, guess what? You do it. That's building spiritual muscle. Whenever the Bible says not to do certain things, guess what? You don't do. You don't do those certain things. That builds spiritual muscle. So we need to be learners. Learners are livers. We are the people that live this. We don't just learn it, we live it. So we got to learn it, but we got to what? Live it. Look at your neighbor and say, learn it. Now live it. Live it. You got to learn it to live it. What kind of learner will you be? Let me ask you this question. If everyone read and studied their Bible like you read and study your Bible and live out the Bible, what kind of church would this be? If everybody in the church read like you and followed and obeyed like you, what kind of church would it be? Would it be a uh-oh? Or would it be a, oh man, this church would be on fire. Just sing about it. Set your church on fire. Worshipper, learner. Third, prayer. Now that says prayer, but I'm going to say it prayer. What kind of prayer are you going to be? I guess, is that how you spell prayer too? I don't know. English, some English person, tell me. Whether or not we're going to say it that way. What kind of prayer are you going to be? Are you going to be a person of prayer? Are you going to pray? Praying means talking to God. It means having a conversation with the Lord. It means taking time to set aside to say, Jesus, you know, and you just begin to speak to Him. And you listen and you hear from Him. You hear from Him, one, as you worship and as you read His Word. And He speaks to you. He impresses things on your mind and in your heart. And it's always going to line up with Scripture. But you need to be talking to God. And we don't need just to talk to God in times of crisis, though those definitely are good times to talk to God in, right? But we need to talk to God in the good times, in the bad times, in the fast times, in the slow times, in every time of our life, every season of our life, when we're young, when we're old, middle-aged, when our hair's thick and it's in, and when it's falling out, we pray to God all the time. Just talking to Him. Say, I don't know how to pray. Pretend that He's sitting right there by you in a chair and say, Jesus, man, my life is a wreck. Maybe for some of you, your life's a wreck, and you say, Jesus, my life's a wreck. I need you to do something in my life. Jesus, so-and-so, they're struggling. They need you, Lord. Father, this sin is defeating me, and I keep getting beat up over it time and time again, and I need victory over it, God. Lord, help me. Let's talk to Him. Talk to the Lord. Pray. Pray to Him. Have a conversation with Him. That's the difference between our faith and the world's faith. We don't pray to a God who can't hear. The Bible says that He hears us. We don't pray to a God that can't speak. We pray to a God who can speak. We don't pray to a God that is just an idol. We pray to the living God who hears us. Let me ask you that question. If everyone in this church prayed the way you prayed, what kind of church would we be? If everybody had the same prayer life that you have, what kind of church would it be? Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Is there anything in me that offends you? Get it out. Get it out. What kind of prayer will you be? Fourth, church teammate. That's fellowship. That's being part of a body. You've got to be a part of a body. You need to be plugged into a church. You need to be a teammate. You need to be a teammate, not just a church member. I don't know who came up with the word church member, but it's not in the Bible, so I felt like I was free to change it. And we call it teammate. Because somewhere along the line, the church has kind of messed up what it means to be a church member, because I don't know any other group that you can be a member of and, you know, give little, do nothing, but complain a lot and still be a member. But a teammate is different. What kind of teammate are you going to be? Are you going to be an encouraging teammate? Are you going to be there for your teammates? Are you going to support one another? Are you going to encourage one another? May I remind you, we don't need to attack one another. We don't need to talk about one another. We need to encourage one another, love one another, support one another, and we need to be there for one another. When someone is wounded, you help them back up. We don't want to be a church full of teammates who bicker and quarrel among each other. The worst thing about a team is when the teammates can't get along. You know what? When that usually happens? That usually happens when one of the team members think they're really, really something. And they think the team's all about them. And it's not. It's about the team. You know what happens in churches? Some people think it's all about them. And that's when it messes up, because it's not about them and it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. It's about Him. And when we lose focus of that, we start bickering and arguing. You know what? Life's too short to not be a good teammate. What do you think? Life's too hard to not be there for one another. Hebrews says it this way. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Are you encouraging your neighbor? Are you encouraging your teammate? Are you praying for your teammates? Are you trying to set an example among your teammates? He says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another for love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, as some are in the habit of." Oh, there we go. Bad habits. How many of y'all know how bad habits creep in? Some of them got out of the habit of going to church and encouraging each other. But encourage one another, he says, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As a teammate, we need to lift one another up, not tear one another down, right? You see, I want everyone that's part of Living Water, I want you to be successful in the things of God. I want your life to reflect full devotion to Jesus. I know that's crazy of me. You know, to really believe that every single member in here can actually unleash the power of God in their life. That I think everyone could be sold out for Jesus. That I think it's normal for a Christian to love their fellow brother and sister in Christ. I know that's radical and weird to think. But I really think that where the spirit of love is, there is Christ. How well are you praying for, supporting, and encouraging your fellow teammates? If everyone was a church member like you, a teammate like you, what kind of church would we be? What kind of church would we be? That we encouraged one another and instilled the good deeds to one another. Fifth, servant. They served. What kind of servant will you be? Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who stepped out of heaven. And Jesus said this about serving: if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, live, you've got to die. It's backwards, isn't it? A servant's heart, a servant is serving Jesus, saying, "You know what? You've given me a gift, you've given me a talent, you've given me a place. I can do something for the kingdom of God." I love the fact that our little kids are already getting that they're supposed to be servants. I love the fact that little Landon Barry was saying that he needs to get him for Christmas this mop bucket and this cleaning supplies so he can help his dad clean the church, work on the church. How does he see that? How does he know that? He sees that happening. Parents that have kids, little kids, if they see you serving, you know what they begin to learn? I'm supposed to be serving. How do we serve God? Well, we can serve God many ways and all through the day, but one way we effectively serve God is also through His church. If He's gifted you to teach, you teach. If He's gifted you to sing, you sing. If He's gifted you to sweep, you sweep. Huh? We need some cleaners in this church. People are not afraid to clean. You know? I thank people like my father-in-law who comes and comes up from Breathitt County. Drives from Breathitt County every Sunday. And then after church is over, he stays and cleans all the bathrooms and all the kids' rooms. A servant. People who work with our kids. People who serve in a cafe, who fix meals. I mean, I'm going to forget somebody, but we have all kinds of people who serve, and it is wonderful to see, and it's a blessing to see, and I'm thankful for everyone who's got a servant's heart, and that's one of the things that we've built into the DNA of this church, that we are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not lead pastor, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Hello, my name is Grant, bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's a title that Paul wasn't ashamed to use, and James and Peter, I don't think I'm better than they are. I am a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever you want me to do, it doesn't matter if it's just picking up paper off the floor, I'll do it for your kingdom. If it's cleaning the bathrooms, I'll clean the bathrooms. Whatever, Lord. Having a servant heart. Let me ask, if everybody in the church served the way that you serve, what kind of church would we be? 6. An inviter. Now, I know that probably ain't spelled right, but we're gonna go with it anyway. An inviter. I only got one more after this. We're almost done, okay? An inviter. Go, therefore, make disciples. Jesus said, go, invite people, invite people, invite people. Day by day, they were being saved. Isn't that amazing? I would love to see that happen. You know, something happened this past year. And I got to admit to this, I know this is probably weak faith on my part. I had always thought it would be really neat if we saw 52 people get baptized in a year, because I thought, you know what that would mean, would be one a week, right? Wouldn't that be cool? But in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, that probably never happened. Can you forgive me for my lack of faith? We exceeded that this year. I was telling somebody the other day, man, wouldn't it be neat to see 365 people give their life to Christ in 1 year? That'd mean one a day. And you know what I said after I thought that? That probably won't ever happen. What? What's wrong with me? Search me, oh God, find me. No, if there'd be a problem, get that out. But you know what? When you're in a thriving community and you are a part of people who love Jesus and make it about Him, people get saved. And we want people to be saved, serving, living, growing, being a worshiper, learner, prayer, part of the church team, a servant, and an inviter. How many people do you invite to church? Well, I just can't invite people to church. I get so nervous. Well, use your Facebook, okay? You use that for a lot of things. Invite people through your Facebook. What about your Twitter account? Invite people that way. I bet you never go to the movies with anybody then, do you? Huh? Never go out to eat with anybody? Have you all ever say, hey, would you like to go out to eat lunch? Has anybody ever asked somebody that? Raise your hand. If you've ever said, hey, would you like to go eat lunch somewhere? People who've been around us for a while going, I ain't raising my hand. Every time he tells us that, I get tricked. How do you do that? How do you invite somebody to go to lunch with you? What do you say? Want to go to lunch? Have you ever had anybody go, I can't believe you asked me to go to lunch. How dare you? What kind of person do you think I am? Okay, we live in Kentucky. There's churches all around. I think if you said, hey, would you like to go to church with me? I doubt you'll hear this response. I can't believe you asked me that question. Go to church. I doubt you'll ever get that response. Now, you may get a no, or I don't think so. That's not my thing, but so what? Invite people to church. I make this promise in the new members class. If you invite people to this church, I can promise you this. I'll promise you this. They'll hear about Jesus. That's the one promise I make. Because it's about him. What kind of inviter are you? Do you gladly invite people to come to church with you? If everyone in the church invited folks the way that you invite folks, would there be more people here or less? It's a good question, isn't it? Search me, O God, find me. See if there's anything in me that needs to be wrong. The last one, seventh, is what kind of giver will you be? What kind of giver will you be? It said they gave. The New Testament church, they were givers. Why were they givers? Because they were following in the example of their Lord Jesus, who was the greatest giver of all time. That it's the nature of God to be a giver. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And as I was listening to a leadership podcast from Rick Warren the other day, he was saying that he made this statement. He said, you will never be spiritually mature until you can give the way God says to give. Because God's very nature is that he is a giving God. And if you want to unleash the power of God in your life, you need to unleash the power of being a generous giver. Now, I believe in tithing. I believe that you should tithe. And we tithe, and we gladly tithe, and I love giving to the Lord. I may be cheap on a lot of things, but I tell you what, I'm not cheap when it comes to the kingdom of God. I may chinch around on some stuff, but I ain't chinching on God. I give, we give to the kingdom. Why? Because here's what I've realized. Everything that I buy in this world breaks, fades, and doesn't last. You realize that shirt that you have that you spent a lot of money on, one drop of bleach on there by an accidental spill will take the color right out. Has anyone had that? Have any of y'all had that experience? Have y'all bought something, new TV, and it breaks? Have you bought a new car and then the new smell wears off? Or you buy a new car and then you go to Walmart and some yahoo comes in there and bing! Opens their car door and dings it. You're like, ah! And the new car ain't staying new. That house is wearing down. The roof's going to eventually leak. It's going to wear out. Everything that you do in this world and invest in this kingdom is all going to fade away. But everything that you do for the kingdom of God's going to last forever and ever and ever. And there's no greater investment that I would want to be a part of than investing in the kingdom of God through his church so that we can provide programs and outreaches and missions and ministries. There's so many things that we're yet to do in this building that's going to bless this community in such a powerful way, but it's going to come through people giving as if they give unto the Lord. Like, well, I don't believe in that tithing stuff. You know, that's Old Testament stuff, okay? Well, you want to do New Testament? Okay, here's what New Testament says. It says, give sacrificially. That means give till it hurts. And other times the New Testament says to give it all.
Well, I think that 10% sounds pretty good now.
Giving to God. Because I can't just throw my $5 in the bag and stand on judgment day and think, Lord, that's all I thought about your kingdom. Now, if all I make is $50 a week, then that $5 means everything. But if I make $500 a week, I give anything less than 50, I'm saying, God, your kingdom isn't that important to me. My kingdom is. My shoes are. My shirt is. My car is. my clothes, my iPad, my latest gadget. And all that wears out and breaks, fades away. Let me ask you this question. If everyone gave the way you gave, would our church be able to move forward in the missions and ministries and the things that we can do to impact this community? Or would we have to scale back? It's a good question, isn't it? Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything in me that offends you. And lead me on the path of everlasting life. So as we close, what I want to do is I want us to pray, and I want us to have a time of reflection, and I want us to hear from God. So if we've had our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and as we are praying, I want to ask you some questions. I want to ask you to just have time with God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. This isn't a trick to try to get you to come forward. I want you just to have a time with God where you can listen to Him. Okay? So here, let me ask you, let you just do business with God right now. And out of those things that we talked about this morning, I want you to kind of do a little self-evaluation. Okay? All right. Where are you at?